Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Assalamu alaikum to Islamic Faith and Focus. My name is Imam Hassan Amin. I am the host of today's program. If you recall last week when we had our first episode, we talked about the pillars of Islam. The focus of this particular program is to talk about some basic information about Islam. We talked about the pillars. One, we talked about the testify that there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the servant and last messenger of Allah. And the second pillar was salat, or prayer. Was zakat, or almsgiving. And the fourth pillar was Ramadan, fasting during the month of Ramadan. And the fifth pillar was hajj, meaning making pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in one's lifetime, and one can afford to do so. Today, we're going to discuss about the beliefs of a Muslim. We have some basic beliefs, six basic beliefs that I'm going to talk about. I may not go through all of them, but they're very basic beliefs. First of all, Allah says in the Quran, when we talked about Quran last week, which is the last revelation sent to mankind, which is made up of 114 chapters, and each chapter have a certain amount of verses in them, from 3 verses as much as 286 verses. This particular verse, Al-Nisa, which is the woman. And this is the fourth chapter, the 136th verse in Quran, and it says, and I'm going to read it only in the English and not translate it from the Arabic to the English, and it says, O you who believe in Allah and his messenger, Muhammad, which he has sent down to his messengers. And what you call the scriptures down to those before him. And whosoever disbelieves in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, he has strayed away. And so, this list of beliefs of the Muslim that we have to believe in these things. Perhaps your faith, if you have a faith, maybe you don't believe in these things, but this belief in what I'm mentioning right now, because we're only talking about some basic beliefs of the Muslim. First of all, to believe in Allah. And that is, we believe, as I mentioned last week, we believe in the oneness of Allah, that he sits alone on the throne of authority, and that there's no other God but Allah. And Allah just basically means Almighty God. It's not a person, it's not a thing, it's none of his creation. He is what you call El-Khalid, which is the creator. We are not to worship anything that Allah creates. We only to worship only just Allah. In a universe that is worthy of worship except Allah. He sits alone on the throne of authority, as I mentioned before. All heads bow down to Allah and seeks Allah's help and his aid. Allah says, if you want to seek help from me. You want to ask of me. And we can't be afraid to ask of Allah. This is what a Muslim is supposed to do, and all human beings are supposed to do, is ask of Allah. I know there's been situations in personal situations where things are just all over the place. But then I ask Allah and I pray to Allah and make supplication to Allah and ask him to bring things together and make things better to me. And once I've made the supplication to Allah, I just let it go. In Allah's hands, Allah takes care of things. And I have seen many blessings since I've been Muslim since 1976 from Allah and because of the supplications I made to Allah. Everyone is in need of Allah, does not need anyone. Allah is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, and has unlimited powers. On a black rock on a black night. So you certainly can see what we do and know about our needs. Now, the next belief is believe in the angels. We believe that the angels are made from light. They have no share in Allah's divinity. They are not children of Allah, and they obey Allah 100%. They have no authority on their own. Also, in terms of the angels, mankind is not to worship them nor seek their help. Angels themselves, they are not there to be worshipped. They are there to obey Allah and do Allah's bidding. And what Allah tells them to do, what not to do, they do exactly that. He says, do a certain thing, they do it. He said, not do a certain thing, they do it. I'm going to go into more into that particular detail right now. And that is, us in a form, they can come to us in a form of a man. For example, one time the Prophet Muhammad, he was in the desert, and a man came to him, all nice and clean, white clothing, no dust whatsoever on him, very handsome man. And he sat like sort of like knee to knee to him. Questions. He asked a question about the five pillars, what we talked about last week. He asked him about also about the beliefs, what we talk about right now, and other things about his way of life. He even asked about when is the day of judgment going to come. And the Prophet said to him, you don't know when the day of basically, you don't know when the day of judgment is going to come, nor do I. We see from this, and then he asked, let me move on. And then he asked his companions who were around, they said, do you all know who this person was? And they said, no, we don't. Only you know and Allah knows who that person was. He said it was Angel Jibril. Some people call him Gabriel. He came to ask me about our faith, about our way of life. So we see from this, he came in the form of a man. So also angels can be as large that can fill the sky, which you talk about later on, and they can be as small as bringing down one drop of rain. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said about Angel Jibril, he said, I saw Jibril descending from the heaven. His great size filled the space between heaven and earth. Mankind themselves cannot create anything or make anything that's going to fill the sky between the heaven and the earth. Only Allah could do this thing. He was the one that created Angel Jibril. And Angel Jibril was so large that he built the sky between the heavens and the earth. Also, it is mentioned by the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was talking about what he saw also in terms of Jibril. He said, in his true form, he has 600 wings, each of which covered, they fell from his wings, or from the wings, they were like jewelry and pearls and rubies. Only Allah knows about them. The size is just enormous of the angel, or could be, as I said before, as small as carrying one drop of rain. Also, Angel Jibril, this great angel, he is the one that brought the last revelation to mankind, meaning the word, what you call Kalam Allah, the words of Allah, he brought to man, he brought from Allah to Prophet Muhammad, and then he had Prophet Muhammad memorize the book of Allah. And when he first met Angel Jibril in the cave, and he said that, and Angel Jibril approached Muhammad because he used to go to the cave and always go there to meditate, life and other things like that, and get close to Allah. And so the angel came to him and he said, Iqra, he said, read. He was an unlettered man. He could not read and cannot write. And he said, read. And Muhammad said, no, I can't read. And then he sort of squeezed him a little bit. He said, read, Iqra, bismillah, bikalladhi khalaq. He said, read in the name of your Lord who created you. And so Muhammad began to read. And so this was the beginning of the revelation of the alhamdulillah, of the revelation coming from Allah to mankind, from the angel brought to mankind from the angel Jibril. Let me go to another angel. This is an angel, basically the trumpet angel, the one that would blow the trumpet. He has two times that he would blow the trumpet when Allah tells him to do so. The first time when he blows the trumpet of the doomsday would take place. The second time he blows the trumpet, that is when people be resurrected, or people will come up from the ground and stand before Allah naked and uncircumcised. The Prophet's wife, she said to him, oh, Prophet Muhammad, when she heard this, said, won't the people be looking at each other? Because you all know what I mean. When you see a naked person, then you probably are going to look at that person. a naked man, a naked woman, you probably look at that person and then you may help that person, but maybe something's wrong with them or something like that, psychological problem, you may go and help that individual. But on this day, it won't be a psychological problem because everyone will come before Allah naked, uncircumcised. So Aisha said, on that day, Aisha, no one will be looking at the other person. On that day, we'll be more concerned about what's going to happen to us. Are we going to paradise? Or are we going to the hellfire on that day? And I'm going to talk a little bit later on about paradise and the hellfire. And so we have the trumpet, right, the particular angel right now with the trumpet to his mouth and just waiting for Allah to give him the command to blow the trumpet. One day to begin and the other time for the resurrection of the human being. The next angel I want to talk about is the angel of death. This particular is Malakul Maut. Death. This angel, as it says in one ayah or one verse in the Quran, it says, the angel of death put in charge of you will duly take your soul. Then shall you be brought back to your Lord. As I mentioned before, our souls will die. They will be resurrected up on the day of judgment, naked and uncircumcised. So let me go further. Now, in terms of this, talking about the angel of death pulling out our souls from our body, and then other things will take place later on. And then I can't get into that right now because of our time limitation about what happens after the angel of death pulls our soul. I want to go to the next angel, which is we have an angel with this angel. He's the one that is responsible for the pouring down of the rain or the blowing of the wind. Are natural disasters, are natural events occurring during the seasons. And these are some of his responsibility. We have two other angels I want to mention right now. And that are the angels that write down our good and our bad deeds. Two angels, one on our right side and one on our left side. The angel on our right side write down our good deeds and the angel on our left side write down our bad deeds. And they do their job. And that way, on the day of judgment, they wrote down for us, on the day of judgment, our book will be presented to us. If we write down whatever bad deeds we've done, it will be presented to us. Whatever good deeds we've done, it will be presented to us. So don't think that you get away, when you do wrong things, you're getting away with anything. Because Allah can see a black ant on a black rock on a black night. So you certainly can see what you're doing and what you're saying. There to write down the things that you do and the good things and the bad things that you do. The last two angels are the angels called Munkar and Nakir. These are the angels that will question us in the grave. Once we get into the grave, they will come to us and they will have us sit up. You probably think, how can you sit up in your casket? This is a whole other world we talk about here. And they will ask you questions. They will ask, who is your Lord? Who is your prophet? And what is your book? And hopefully we will have the right answers. The Muslim know to answer the question, who is your Lord, Allah? Who is your Prophet Muhammad? And what is your book? We talk about the Quran. What we're talking about here is the books of Allah. Allah sent down many books. He sent down the books to Abraham, the Torah to Moses, the Psalms to David, the Gospel to Jesus, and the Quran to Muhammad. Any of the above books that I mentioned, if they're mixed with the corrupt words of mankind, we don't believe in. With the books, we do not believe in it. But in terms of Quran, man cannot tamper with the book, with the Quran. Allah will protect that book. Matter of fact, authorized book amongst the Muslims. Us as Muslims, if we make a mistake in recitation, for example, leading the prayer, the woman, a man or a child can correct us because we have people that memorize the whole of our beautiful book, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah. Next, what we talk about are the belief. We believe in the various prophets, and that is, and it says, verily, we have sent among your ummah, meaning our community, we have sent to be warners against false deities. Not to associate anything with Allah. In Quran, we have 25 prophets that are mentioned. We have Prophet Saleh, we have Prophet Ayub and Dawood and Zachariah and Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon him. Just to name a few. I can't go through all because of my time limitation, but those are just some of the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, and we have about 25 of them mentioned in the Quran. Now let's go to in the hereafter. We believe there's life after this life. We're not just living this life only. We use this life to prepare for the next life. That's the belief of the Muslim, is that it's like a journey, this particular life. And this is our journey, and our destination is not this life. Our destination is the next life. Good that we can in this life in order to get even better in the next life. Allah said in one verse in the Quran, and he said, this is the 29th chapter, the 57th verse. He said, every soul shall taste death. Then unto you, you shall be returned. And unto us, you shall be returned. And so, kulli nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. Everyone that listens to my voice, you will die, and including myself. There will be raised up, as mentioned earlier, before our Lord. And so, in terms of what happens after death, which I can't get a lot of details, but let me just tell you the two places, either one or two places we will go. We either go to paradise, and it says in one verse in the Quran, in chapter 5, the 119th verse, and it says, Allah will say, this day on which the truthful will profit from their truth, theirs are gardens underneath which rivers flow, meaning in paradise. They shall abide therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they with him. It's the great success, meaning the paradise. Then you have, on the other hand, the hellfire. Really, Allah has cursed the disbelievers and has prepared for them a flaming fire, meaning the hell. Mentioned in another verse, and it mentioned, really, whosoever Lord as a criminal, meaning a disbeliever, not believing in Allah's oneness, then surely for him is hell. Therein he will neither die nor live. Another verse I mentioned as proof to what I'm talking about is that the Prophet Muhammad, he said, the people of paradise will enter paradise and the people of hell. Then a caller will stand between them and will say, O people of hell, there is no death. Paradise, there is no death. Meaning it is eternal, meaning your both places are forever. There's no end to these two places. And lastly, a caller will cry out to the people of paradise and will never fall sick. You will live and will never die. And will never grow old. You will feel ease and will never be miserable. So these two places is the ultimate goal of the disbeliever and a believer. If you disobey Allah and don't do what Allah says for you to do, and you only do what you want to do, then you're striving for the hellfire. And the hellfire is not just a temporary thing. You just get one burnt one time and you're out. No, what will happen is that the person in the hellfire, their skin will burn off of them. Pain, they will get new skin. Then they go through that pain, all that skin is burnt off. Then they get new skin. Then after that, all that skin is burnt off. Then they get new skin. It will continue like that forever with no dying, and they will not be living. But the person in paradise, they will receive the great and the good of the paradise. They will, whatever they want, they get it in paradise. It's fruit like we never taste before, water like we never taste before, milk like we never taste before. Anything that you want in paradise, all you have to do is ask. And you will get it because we strove and we strive so hard to please our Lord. Our Lord said, don't do certain things. We don't do that thing. He said, do a thing. We do that thing without any problem. This is the way of the Muslim, to treat people well, to be kind to people, because our ultimate goal is the pleasure of Allah, and the ultimate goal is to get to paradise. That's the striving of a true Muslim, a true believer, one that wants to please Allah and look out for humanity, care about humanity. We're supposed to comfort those that need comforting. We're supposed to help those who need help. That is the true Islam, and that is the true Muslim, hands down, no question about that. My time has come to an end, and I want to thank you so, so much to Islamic Faith in Focus. And please support the VIN Network because of the great work that the VIN Network is doing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This has been a production of the VEN Network.